Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon, the gospel lesson mostly, with some dips into the Old Testament lesson. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." And then from the middle of the first parable, "And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing." So right there on full display, right out there in front of everybody, there's the two religions of the world. There are only two religions in the world, by the way. One is the religion that says, what does God want me to do? How must I obey God? How can I seek his favor? How can I earn forgiveness? How can I make my way into heaven? How can I find him as a loving God? How can I persuade him to accept me? And then there's Christianity. So all around the world there are people seeking, how do I please God? How do I chase after him? How do I follow him? How do I find him? How do I earn forgiveness? How do I become worthy of eternal life? And when it's on us and we're seeking how to do this, we get it wrong. We mess it up. We get all kinds of crazy ideas how to earn God's favor. Yes, this is the 15th anniversary of September 11th, 2001, where some, in devotion to seeking God and earning his favor, did horrible things. That's the one religion of the world. It runs all over the world. And then there's Christianity. And basically, Christianity says, you can't earn his favor. Give it up. You can't. Part one. Part two. You can't earn his favor. Somebody else already has earned his favor. They're on display as Jesus is teaching and preaching. The tax collectors, the sinners, they were coming to hear him. Why? Because they were of the bunch that had been told over and over and over again, you got to do better, and if you don't do a whole lot better, you are doomed and doomed for all time. And they had had that message hammered on them. Hammered on them by the Pharisees, whose name, by the way, means the righteous ones. Hammered on them by the scribes, who were, by the way, the teachers of the law. That's Old Testament law. That is one regulation after another, after another, after another. And the scribes, by the way, missing that part of the Old Testament revelation all through the Old Testament that God was going to send a Savior. They missed that part. And so they were in the business of figuring out how all the rules fit together and how you, by following the rules, could become right in the eyes of God. The two religions of the world on full display right out there in front of everybody, including in front of God. And meanwhile, there is God who says, what, me? Stay up in heaven? No. What, me? Sit here on this throne being all glorious and holy and letting the whole human race go to blazes? No. I will be their shepherd. I will call them. I will gather them. I will seek them out. I will heal. I will strengthen. And God goes on and on, Ezekiel 34, saying what he will do. It was the plan all along that God would come into this world to be our shepherd. But you know what being a shepherd involves, don't you? It involves some fairly unpleasant things. It gets messy and wet and muddy and cold. And David was out there, and there were wild beasts. And there was Jacob, having to run from Esau and hire himself out to Laban 20 years as a shepherd. And he says, I was out there with the sheep. If it rained, I got wet. When it got hot, I sweated. When it got cold, I was cold with the sheep. There was mud and there was ick. That was my lot. And God says, yeah, that's me. That's what I've decided to do as your shepherd. So, then we look a little bit closer. And we see the image of Jesus saying the good shepherd goes searching for his sheep, and when he finds it, let's elaborate. When he finds it, after it has wandered through brambles and thorn bushes and got all kinds of things stuck in its wool, and it's been out there and it's wet and muddy and whew, smells. Who's he talking about? This is us. This is us. We are that sheep. And by the way, saying this in a spiritual way, you stink. What does the shepherd do? He takes it, he puts it on his shoulders. Now, we get the full measure of the image. There it is on his shoulder, the underside of a damp and muddy sheep. Yeah. Rejoicing. Because see, this shepherd is not afraid of being with the sheep or of the things that the sheep have gotten into. You want to talk about the things in our soul? The things in our lives? You want to talk about a Savior who says they have made an absolute total mess of everything? I'm going down there. And I'm going to get into that mess for them. A whole human race that turns religion into an excuse for hate. That's our species. It's not some other human race. It's us. And he comes for us. Not only to be born for us in a stable, laid in a manger. Son of man has nowhere to lay his head. Hungry, thirsty, out there in the wilderness, 40 days of fasting. Is there for us? Touching the leper, healing the sick, raising the dead. He's there for us. Not backing off from the stench of sin, putting it on himself, on his own shoulders, carrying it out to Calvary, and then being nailed to it. So we're supposed to stand in front of God and say, hey God, look at my holiness, look at my good works. Not in this religion. For two reasons, because we have no holiness to bring. And second, because Somebody else brought His holiness and He gave it to us. And we live with that. We live with the complete undeservedness of this. And we have a word for it. It's called grace. And we live with the having been called back out of sin to come as sinners and stand before Him. And so we come. We're like that other parable that's coming along a little later, a few weeks from now, the Pharisee and the tax collector, where one stands in the temple and says, "Look, God, how good I am." And the other stands way back and says, "Have mercy on me, a sinner." Guess which is the safe place? It's the "have mercy on me, a sinner." Because if you don't want to stand there, God knows you are anyway. And He'll have to tell you, now or later. But standing there as a sinner, you hear all the words of the Bible that are there for sinners. Your sins are forgiven. Neither do I condemn you. Or this one. Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. How sweet is that? So Jesus keeps on with the same pattern, receiving sinners and eating with them. All the way into our day, receiving sinners and eating with them. Invites us to table, sinners, so that He can spread out a meal in front of us and say, "This is my blood shed for you." And the Pharisees, they miss this completely because they're still asking, why would God eat with sinners? They haven't figured out the question that comes back, who else is there to eat with? They haven't figured out the other question, so would you like a place at the table, sinner? And when Jesus preaches to them, He's calling them too. He doesn't write them off. He's going to deal with the sinners, and He's going to deal with the sinners. And that's who He wants in His kingdom. Sinners of every kind and every stripe and sinners of every mix of sin. Yeah, every mix of sin. How far can that reach? Can it reach as far as chief of sinners though I be? Paul? Is there anyone it cannot reach that far? No. And so this good shepherd calls every single one of us and calls to every man, woman, and child in the world. No matter what the type of sin or the mix of sin or the level of sin, are there levels of sin? We all stand before God in that way. And He invites us to come there because there at the place where sinners stand before a holy God, there is this surprise that the holiness of God is not that He sits up in heaven looking down on us and saying, "You stink. Get away from me." that the holiness of God is God coming into the world to bring a holiness that is fit and fashioned and made for sinners. His holiness is Him coming and being willing to take our sin and to sweep away that sin and to make us holy in the sight of God and to call us His own and to open up heaven and to invite us to be with Him, living forever, living holy with Him forever. And you know that happens not because of us. It happens because His holiness is enough for every one of us for all eternity. In Jesus' name, Amen.